Well, good morning. I know none of you have ever done this, but if you fall asleep in the chair and then you wake up at 2:30 a.m., TV still going, you're probably going to see an ad that says, change your life! You know, that's just what you need, you know, at 2:30 in the morning. If you exercise, if you do that, you'll change your life. Well, you know what? The Bible says that we do need our lives changed. But what I'm seeing is we need to continually change. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Here's one solution that's often offered to changing your life. I hope you'll enjoy it.
Dr. Switzer? Yes, come in.
I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. You're being very alive in a box.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no, we don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes, and then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow, okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it! I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, IT.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So, I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
Yes.
Then stop it!
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No. We don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! Nut of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No. No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. There's a lot of germs out there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! How are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook!
Stop it! You stop it! You stop it!
What's the problem, Kathy?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
Said to you, stop it! Okay. Easier said than done, right? But what we need as Christians, we all know that if people would stop destructive behavior, they'd be better off. But we need an incentive for that. And that incentive is a person, Jesus Christ. He came from heaven. He is God's Son. He loves us. He is a solution to all the problems of the world. God gave his Son because he so loved the world so that we could be changed by, first of all, stopping it, at the same time taking up something new. Whenever God says stop it, he always offers an alternative. And I suggest to you that the alternative for the believer, first of all, if you're not a believer, obviously the alternative for you is to stop believing in Jesus Christ. Stop becoming aware of him. Start studying his word. Read the Gospel of John and become acquainted with Jesus so you know what Jesus himself is saying and you're not having it filtered through somebody else. Jesus will speak to you through the Bible. He has done that for many, many people, okay? But how about us who are Christians? You know what I find? I need to be changed every single day. And some days, you know what? I miss out on being changed because I don't open the Bible, okay? The Bible is the living Word of God. And if you're a born-again Christian, you can understand this Bible. And I want you to understand that you can understand this whole Bible. Okay? You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to know the Greek. You don't have to know the Hebrew. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that if God calls you to it. But you know what? They've already translated it out of Greek and out of Hebrew so that you and I can read it. And there are all kinds of translations on board. We have more Bibles coming out of our ears. And we don't pick it up and read it. So I want to suggest to you the way to be changed is to keep on reading the Word of God. Now, as you have your bulletin, you have the outline of my sermon, throw it away. Because in researching this, I said, you know what? Everything I'm trying to say is right in the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Okay? So we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. And I want you to know that wisdom in the Bible is personified in Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says that all the wisdom of God is in Jesus Christ, okay? So we're going to look at it from the perspective that it's Jesus Christ speaking to us, speaking to people that don't know him, speaking to people that do know him. Now, my daughters are here, and my daughters, unlike me, are very orderly. Okay, so they always say, Dad, make sure you don't go too long. Okay, so I'm throwing that out too. No, I'm not either. I actually have a stopwatch here. Okay, there are 7 points that I want to make, and I'm going to use 3 minutes on each point. Okay, and the stopwatch will tell me when my 3 minutes are up, and I move on to the next one. Okay, can you stay with me for 21 minutes? Can you do that? This is the Word of God. It's not about me. It's about this Word. Okay, now if you have your Bible. Well, I guess, Chris, you're going to be able to put it on the screen. Okay, So here we start off, all right? First of all, let me get my running shoes on here, okay? Every one of these segments, these 7 points, start with a D, okay? So that's going to hopefully help you remember. Okay, here I am. I'm starting it. See, there it is right there. All right, now it's going. Ooh, I got all this time. All right. So the first thing we have in the first few verses, 1, 2, 3, is we have a divine declaration of the diverse declaration of the Word of God. What it's saying here is, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? That's what I'm doing right now. It's not my wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. In other words, God wants the whole world to hear His Word. Okay, and here's what he says. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill. She's right up there prominent with wisdom, okay? And beside the way where the paths are, that's the back roads, okay? Everywhere you go, the Word of God is speaking to you through creation, if nothing else, but also through the Bible. And then she cries out by the gates where all the people are, the gates where everybody's coming through, and the Word of God is going forth to these people. They're all on a journey. Are they going to go through the gates of destruction or the gates of life? And so God has got his people there, missionaries, teachers, preachers, saying, don't go that way, come this way. Okay? So that's what he's saying. And at the entrance of the doors, wherever God has the opportunity, he has people speaking on his behalf for the good of the people, because he not only wants us changed, he wants to keep on being transformed. That's not going to happen unless you get into the Word of God personally. That's the message. You get into the Word of God personally and understand that Jesus is the key to understanding the Bible. They tell about, I still got time. They tell us that there was a range war in Texas one time, and people were getting killed. They were fighting over rangeland and everything. So both sides decided, you know what, we're going to call for the Texas Rangers. And so they sent out the call, and the great day came, and the Texas Rangers were going to show up on the train. Everybody's at the station waiting for the Texas Rangers to get off. They're going to settle this battle. They're going to bring peace to the area. And this one guy gets off, a little short guy wearing two guns and a badge. And they go, that's it? And he looked at him, he said, you only got one war, don't you? In other words, he's adequate. And I submit to you that Jesus Christ is adequate for your messed up life. Okay? He's adequate for anyways. He's adequate for alcoholics. He's adequate for the drug addict. He's adequate for the moral guy that thinks he doesn't need God. He is totally adequate. And he is the only one we need, okay? And we need to see that through the scriptures that God has provided him. And then not only is there a divine, diverse declaration, there's also, it's designed for men. We know it's designed for men because it starts out with, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Let me tell you something. When God calls a man a fool, that's not because he's not intelligent. It's because he's not listening to God. He's not taking God into account. This life is short. We've seen it time and time again, how quickly people die. I think of it sometimes as the buffalo herd. You know, the buffalo herd, the hunter would get downwind where the buffalo would not be aware of them, and they're all there, they're grazing, and then all of a sudden, Buffalo Bill, your buddy, keels over. Oh, well, what's wrong with him? And keep on eating, and pretty soon you keel over. Listen, life is short. You need to apply yourself to wisdom, and wisdom is found in this book, and the main teacher is Jesus Christ. Jesus told the disciples, I am your teacher. I put him above any teacher. I thank God for every teacher of the Word of God. But it's what Jesus Christ says and the Word of God says above anyone. Okay? So we want to have that understanding. So he says, you fools, be of an understanding heart. Because all of us know people who are hurting themselves. They're killing themselves by what they're doing. And so God says, you know what? I want you to understand me. I really want you to understand me. I want you to understand how much I love you and how I can give you the wisdom of Christ to keep you from the bad path and take you in the right way. Now, sometimes we look at people that don't have too much faith in Jesus, or maybe they don't have any. They seem to be doing great. they've still ruled out the fact that one day they're going to meet God. One day they're going to meet God, all right? You can't come out right at the end if you neglect God all of your life, okay? So God is calling men to listen to him. It's messed up. Oh, well. I was hoping for a breakdown on that. Okay, so listen to what he says here. He says that this is designed for men, this word of his, and it's also dependable. Listen, this is God speaking. For my mouth will speak truth. My mouth will speak truth. You can trust this truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. When I was a little boy, my mother told me that the Bible is the word of God. I've read a lot of books since that proved that the Bible is the word of God, but you know what? My mother was right, and she didn't read any of those books, okay? So God will prove to you that his word is true. If you will trust it, you will see that it's true. Okay, so we want to see that. This is the third point, that the word of God is defined to be understood. It's defined to be understood. The best interpreter of the word of God, once you become acquainted with it, is the word of God itself. It explains what it meant by those terms, okay? Here's what he says. They are plain, these words of God, are plain to him who understands. Have you ever been taught in something you knew nothing about? And somebody's showing you and they're saying, it's easy. And you're like, oh, no way. But it's easy to them because they understand it. I got to tell you that I think a lot of people make the Bible much more difficult to understand than it actually is. But that's because we're not acquainted with it. When you personally become acquainted with the Word of God, you're going to start seeing things differently. And you're going to see how those terms are so important. Terms are always important in the Bible, and learn, okay, because it's God himself teaching you. Jesus died and rose again to validate this book. You realize that? He's the author of this book, and he died, and then he rose again to prove that this is the very word of God. Other religions have no resurrected Savior. They got graves everywhere, but they don't have a resurrected Savior. We do. And so these are designed so that you will understand. You say, oh, I don't understand. Well, maybe you do need some help, okay? And God has provided teachers, preachers, evangelists, and so forth to help you understand. You know what the primary thing is in you understanding? Is you want to know. That's the primary thing. I want to know. I'm not going to settle for less. I want to know, okay? If you have that attitude, I guarantee you that God will teach you the right way, keeping Jesus Christ right in the center and all his beauty, okay? So and he says here in verse 10, receive my instruction. Now, right now in your heart and mind, you're saying, there's something to what he's saying, or you're saying, I've heard better, or I'm putting this off for a while. I'll think about it. You know, the success of this sermon will be that you pick up the Bible on your own tonight and you read it for yourself and you start reading Proverbs and you see the wisdom of God. There are some people who teach that this is not wisdom. After all, it says a woman. Well, here's the idea. When he uses the term woman, he's speaking of the compassion that women have. So the Spirit of Truth is reaching out in compassion to teach us the truth. Remember Jesus weeping over Jerusalem? How often I would have gathered you as a hen, see that's female, would have gathered her chicks against the gathering stone. So God has both male and female characteristics, spiritually speaking. You see that? So he has compassion on everyone like a mother has compassion on her children. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad you got a God like that that cares about us? Wow, awesome. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies. Better than rubies. Just think about some recent headlines. Wisdom is better than wealth. Wisdom is better than wealth, okay? And wisdom comes from Jesus Christ. And then my fourth point is discretion is what we're looking for here. Deciding between evil and good. What is evil? What is good? Evil is often decorated as good. It's made to look appetizing. Well, good is often looked on as austere and threatening and so forth. That's not true. This is Jesus speaking. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Prudence means you're paying attention to where you're going. You're watching your steps and you're making sure that they're in accord with God. And I find out knowledge and discretion. Listen here. Here's a verse that you should take to the bank, okay? It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is not to cower somewhere that he's going to strike you and just take you out of here. He's capable of doing that, okay? If you're a sinful person, you should have some fear like that. But the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. See, you can't love two things at once. Just can't do that. So if you love Jesus, you're going to hate that which separates from Jesus. You see that? Hate and love are often spoken of in the Bible. So you want to think about that. He says, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, I hate. Counsel is mine. This is Jesus. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. You see that? I am understanding. It means that understanding begins with understanding who Jesus is and then looking at the Word of God through that lens of Jesus Christ. Okay? And then this is a lengthy passage. I won't read it all. But in beginning of verse 15, delegate authority is by Christ. When you see a cop, he's not a cop really. He's a minister of Jesus Christ to keep peace in the neighborhood so that people can go about their business and feel protected. God put those in place. Judges, he put them in place. Does it mean that every cop realizes he's a minister of God? I saw two guys up in Plymouth, big cops. I think they had their coffee and their donuts with them. But I said, do you know that you guys are ministers of God? And they were interested. That's what they are. I said, you're supposed to keep peace so that people can go about their lives without feeling threatened every moment. And I gave them a couple of Gospels of John. But see, all the authorities that are in place, it doesn't mean that the person occupying the office is, you know, an angel. It could be wicked. He could use it the wrong way. But the office itself is instituted by God to keep peace so that you and I can meet here without fear of, well, anyway, we got gods. But it's getting, that's breaking down, but it's really God's plan to have us have a peaceful existence so that we can continue to grow in him. So he says, by me, kings reign, rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. I'm kind of that way myself. I love those people who love me. Now, they're few and far in number, but once in a while. But see, God wants you to respond to his love. He loves us. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. I try never to forget the first time I realized that Jesus loved me. That's humbling. Because I knew what a rotten person I was. As much as I could know, I'm sure it was even worse in God's eyes. But he loved me. And I got that idea. Jesus loves me. That's a good idea. That's a biblical truth. Hang on to that. Cling to that, okay? So all this delegated authority is for one reason. And he says, I traverse the ways of righteousness. I'm going back and forth in the earth. I'm deciding. I'm judging. I am active in the earth. This is what Christ is saying. And wherever there's injustice, there will certainly be justice eventually. Okay? And so he is judging in the earth. And he says, you know, my way is better. It brings riches. See, if you really follow the book of Proverbs, you will learn how to manage your money. Or you'll have a wife like mine that knows how to do that. And I rely on her very heavily. Okay? So God's going to give you wisdom to manage what you have so that you don't have to be a poor person. Sometimes it happens, okay, and no fault of the person. But you want to get on your own feet and have God guiding you and leading you. So he wants to bring you honor. He wants to bring you money. Oh, money's evil. No, it isn't. It's the love of money that's evil. Okay? So you want to be a self-sustaining person under God, along with the body of Christ. And then here's what I don't want you to miss. And this begins in verse 22. This is Jesus speaking directly. And here's what he says. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Now, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but as you read that whole passage, you'll see before anything was created, God had Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. But in God's mind, before the world was founded, Christ was sacrificed for the sin of the world that Jesus saw coming. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. See, before God ever created you, he knew you and I were going to be in a mess one day, and that we're going to be lost, and that we need our sins taken away. And so before he ever created the world, in his heart and mind, Jesus Christ was crucified, the lamb crucified before the foundation of the world. That's what God planned for you. Hey, I don't know, some of you, is your life messed up? Have you considered that God prepared for you before he ever created the world? God did not create hell for men or women. He created it for the devil and his angels. You got to listen to God. This is very important. You got to listen to God. And you have a right to listen to him because he loves you and he created you. All right? I'm going to divert here a little bit. Family, come on. Come on, cut me some slack here. Family. Boy, I'm glad they're not my judges, right? I talked to a man this week that I've known all my life, practically. We were boyhood friends. And he's a man that's always done everything right. He was a guy who provided for his family, worked hard. He served his country. He was severely injured for his country. He raised his children to think right and to do right. But he's never trusted Christ. And so I talked to him and I said, look, you and I are coming to the end. He's my age, he's a little bit older than me. And he nodded his head. He knows it's coming. He's been thinking about it, I know he has. And I said, you know what God said to Cain when Cain was distraught that God had received Abel's sacrifice, but not his own? It says that Cain's face fell. He's angry. He brought the best that he had to God. And God goes and reasons with him and says, why don't you do what's right? Well, in context, what is doing what's right? It's offering the same kind of sacrifice that Abel did. See, Abel's sacrifice had blood in it and it pointed to the Lamb of God. You can read it in Hebrews 11, makes it clear. That's how the Bible explains itself. Because Abel believed the message that Jesus was going to come and die for him, he took a little lamb and he slaughtered it and he laid it out there. And God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice because God is pleased with Jesus' sacrifice. Do you see that? And when he put his faith in that, God was pleased with Abel. Okay? And God is going after Cain. Cain, why don't you do what's right? And this is what I said to my friend. I said, all my life I've known you. And, you know, we've got in trouble. We did, you know, stupid things as teenagers and all that stuff. But by and large, he always did the moral thing, the right thing. I said, listen, my friend, why don't you do the right thing by God? It's only right that you'd believe your Creator and trust his Son, Jesus Christ. I wish I could say, he said, oh, yeah. He didn't. I said, all I'm asking you to do is think about that. Now, I know he's thinking about the end is coming. You know what? Okay, so would you pray for him? Some of you know who I'm talking about, some of you don't. Just pray for him. And pray for everybody, okay? My cousin got saved at 70 years of age because for the first time he saw the gospel that his little granddaughter had given him, and it said, you must be born again. And he said, nobody ever told me that. At 70 years of age, he's already been on 2 mission trips. And he's just eating up the Bible. Now, some of us grew up with the Bible. We're not even looking at it. Hello? It's time to have a meal. Say, God, I want you to bless my heart with your truth. Lord, I'm seeking your face today. Just speak to me through your word. I want to be reassured that you love me. I want to be reassured you got a hold of my life. I want to be reassured that I'm going to do something for you before it's too late. Not to be saved, but to serve. Okay? We're saved to serve. Amen? Saved to serve. Okay. So here's what Jesus says about God. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. And as you read the rest of that passage, you see God who is delighted with Jesus. It tells us that throughout the scriptures, in the Gospels, it says, God speaks from heaven. So this is my beloved son. I am pleased in him. Hear him. You know why Jesus delighted God? Because he's pure, no sin. And now, right now, as a believer, and you too, I'm wrapped in righteousness of Christ. And I can come right into the holy presence of God. Not as Dennis, but as the believer in what Jesus did for me. You say, well, I don't know if that's for me. Listen, there's no other way. And God made it that way, so it'd be really, really simple, okay? I remember reading about this guy who was supposed to go on a plane. He got there at the last minute to try to get a seat. And he said, there was only one seat left, and I felt led to take it. You get it? There's only one seat left. He felt led to take it. Well, where is God leading you when the alternative is hell, okay? Or if it's back in the time of Noah, how long can you swim, okay? Or do you want to get on board? Oh, I don't like being forced into anything. Yeah, I see your life shows that. You don't like anybody telling you anything, and that's the nature of sin, by the way, okay? Satan did not like God telling him what he would do. He said, I'm going to do my own thing. That's the nature of sin. That's what Jesus died for. And even if you're a believer today, it's still active in your life, trying to take it the wrong way. But by the grace of God, we're held by a nail-pierced hand to walk with Jesus and to know him better. But the only way that's going to happen is through the Word of God. Okay? All right. So he tells about all these things that God does, all about the creation. But the first thing he did was Jesus. Now, Jesus was always God, but the idea here is that in his humanity, he was already foreseen by God when he was born later, you know, in time to the Virgin Mary. And he was born to a virgin so he wouldn't have a sin nature, so he could then offer this perfect humanity for the sins of the whole world. God is eager to forgive people. Okay. So let me read this. This is the last part here. This is Jesus speaking. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, do you know what the foundations of the earth are? Did you ever think about this? The earth is a big ball spinning through space, and you and I are standing on it. Some of you, I know, you think it's flat, and you don't want to go too near the edge. I got that. But you know what? It's a big ball spinning through space, and here we are. We're held by gravity, the law of gravity. You know, I could have, you know, who is it? Sir Isaac Newton, he came up with that, apple fell. I could have got that one. All the good stuff is gone, all the easy stuff, okay? But you know what? Here we are, we're spinning through. If we were a little closer to the sun, we'd be burned up. A little further away, we'd be frozen. It's God's holding all this. So what is the foundation of the earth? It's the Word of God. Can you build your life on that same foundation? The Word of God. You can build your life on that. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's more like it. It's really sad when you got to ask for it, you know. But you know, this is God's truth. We applaud God's truth, do we not? We should anyway. So there, he says, when he marked out the foundation of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. See, the whole earth was created through Jesus Christ, the Word. There's a written word, and there's the Word, and he acted as creator, as a master craftsman, following the master design. This world is tremendous, even though we've injured it, we've harmed it. Wow, what? They're still discovering new species of insects, new species of fish in the ocean, the things that we see. You know, in the book of Jonah, it talks about the mountains in the deeps of the ocean. People didn't know what he was talking about. Science knows now. Hey, there are mountains in the bottom of the ocean. Science only discovers what God did. The problem is, a lot of times, they try to take credit for what God did. Okay, now they're good scientists, okay? All right, so enough of that. But so he says, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. This is like God the Father rejoicing in the prosperity of his children. As a father, If you're a father, you know that you rejoice in the prosperity of your children. But this is a unique relationship between the father and the son. And I was daily his delight. See, God was daily delighted with Jesus. I remember a long time ago, a woman said to me, I don't know why God doesn't come down here and just destroy the earth because everybody is so bad. That's because Jesus is standing between destruction and us. He's giving people time to decide on Jesus. And us, for those of us who have made that decision to trust Christ, he's giving us time to grow. Giving us time to kind of revel in what God has done. Oh, it's amazing. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Usually when it talks about the sons of men, it means unsaved men. But here Jesus is saying, I delight in men. See, as a man, he loved men, and that obviously includes all women as well. I delight in them. You know what he delights in doing? The Bible tells us that God delights in showing mercy. Isn't that wonderful? We need mercy, and he loves giving it. That's a good arrangement, isn't it? And he delights that we would have this wonderful mercy. And then finally, this is the end, okay, I promise. I don't know what happened with the stopwatch. You can see I'm not technologically advanced here. They have to pin stuff on me. You had to help me, right? You didn't know what you were doing either. But anyway. Oh, you did. Okay, listen, this is very important. I'm going to read these last few verses from this whole book. And I entitled it, Disdaining. You know what it means to disdain? That's when your mother says, don't go out on that ice. And you do. Okay? Now you might make it, but you might fall through too. Disdaining is neglect. And it talks a lot about that in the Word of God. Why did Israel get in trouble? Because they don't pay attention to God. They neglect his word, okay? Why do we get in trouble as Christians? Because we're not paying attention to his word daily, okay? That's what he says. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. My children are born-again people. You should listen to him because you're equipped to hear him. He said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, you're equipped. Now pay attention. All right, this is what he says. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. See, you say, well, I am a born-again Christian, and I do this, and I do that, and so forth and so on. Are you receiving new instruction? Are you receiving new truth from God to the point where you can say, you know what? I know what that book is talking about. I know the subject of that book. You know, book after book in the Bible. 66 books. Do I know what they mean? Make it your life's pursuit to know that, okay? And I promise you, if you're a pupil, God will bring you a teacher. If it's he himself, you can learn a lot just by reading on your own. What do teachers, we got a couple of teachers here, what are the teachers like? They like somebody that wants to learn, okay? And it's the same with Jesus. He wants to teach us, okay? Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Disdain means neglect. Don't pay attention to it. Sometimes people say, well, it doesn't mean anything if you don't do something. Listen, doing starts with hearing. Doing starts with hearing. Sometimes the church mixes that up. If you're doing, you must be hearing. Not necessarily. Sometimes you're doing for the wrong reason. Hear the word of God first. Believe the word of God and then do as it teaches you. Blessed is a man who listens to me. And you can put a woman in there. Blessed is anyone who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. What does that mean? What are those gates? Let me show you what the gates are. There they are. Watching daily at my gates. This is a gate. This is a gate. Are you doing it? No show of hands here. Listen, you're missing out. You say, well, everything's going good in my life right now. I'm going to wait until God catch me in the pants, and then I'll pick up the Bible. That was my education in the first few years. Okay? You know what? If you pick up the Bible more often, more frequently, he may not have to kick you in the pants. Okay? He may not have to correct you as he's doing. Okay. So he says, do not, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. See, the idea is you're watching, you're looking for something. I want a word from the Lord, not from the TV guy, but from the book itself. I want to hear what God has to say. And waiting at the post of my door. For whoever finds me finds life. Who can that be but Jesus Christ? Life is in him. They brought a man, they opened the ceiling of the room. They couldn't get to him. And his friends, they cut through the roof, and it was real hard work, and it was hot and everything. And they lured this guy down, and he's paralyzed. He's laying in this mat. And Jesus looks at him, and it says, he saw their faith. And he said, rise. The first thing he says is, your sins are forgiven. That's the first thing you want to hear from God. Your sins are forgiven. Because once they're forgiven forever. And a new creature is born. The old creature is nailed to the cross with Jesus, and now he's growing up that new creature in Christ so that we become more and more like him through his word. It's a transforming effect, okay? Jesus loves to show mercy. He loves to show it. So, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, sometimes God's children, they have life, but they don't have the experiential favor because they're walking the wrong way and disdaining the word of God. He never abandons you, never forsakes you, but he will correct you. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. Well, what is the sin he's talking about? You're not paying attention to what he's saying. That's the sin he's talking about, and that can be a believer or an unbeliever. Okay? He hates his own soul. He wrongs his own soul. And this is for people who are not Christians. All those who hate me love death. Now, you can go up to, I don't know how many people you could go up to and say, do you love death? If they're honest, they say, no, I don't love death. I'm a Christian. I'm not looking forward to dying. I'm waiting for the rapture. We're out of here. No death, okay? But this is a different kind of death he's talking about here. Those who hate me love death. There's three types of death in the Bible. Number one is physical death. Everybody is subject to that unless Christ comes first, okay? And takes the church out of here. And the second death is separation from God. That's what God warned Adam about. And the day that you eat of that fruit, you will die. He lived 950 years more, so he's not talking about physical life. He's saying you're separated from me. That's why God had to go look for him, okay? But there's also another kind of death, and that's what believers can experience. And that's a practical death, where you're not really hearing the word of God. You're separated from God, not that he's not your Savior, and not that he's not your God, not that you're not going to go to heaven, but you're not really hearing from him. And so loving death means I enjoy being separated from God. And if that's the truth, if that's really true, and you've got to answer before God, if that's really true, it's because you got a wrong picture of God. You got a wrong picture of God. And you need to get that picture clear through the scripture. Amen? Well, the old stopwatch says that only an hour has gone by, so here we go. Okay. So we do have to close. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. And I pray that you'll open the book of Proverbs and say, Lord Jesus, speak to me. Show me some things. He'll show you, kind of practical things. I always love it when they make the distinction between practical and spiritual. There's no distinction, really. If it's the truth, it's spiritual, it came from God, whether it's practical application or not. All right, let's have a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your written word. It is our Jesus to us, and we just pray that as we read and study, that you will move on our hearts and minds, clean us up in our thought life, prepare us for service, and may we rejoice in Jesus just as God rejoices in Jesus, because he is altogether lovely. Thank you for a wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.